reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has risen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, in August, I was on vacation with Father Mark O'Donnell, Father Joe Sedera, and Lee Adams, who was a retired state policeman and just a marvelous guy filled with a wealth of knowledge. And we were driving to Swan's Island, which is off the coast of Bass Harbor in Maine. And before we got to the terminal, we stopped for groceries to get everything we needed. So now the three of us have all our gear packed into Mark's car, plus we're towing a boat. So we have all these groceries now for like 2 weeks, and we're trying to find space to put these groceries. And finally I climb into the boat, and they're handing bags of groceries up to me, and I'm tying them down on the seats and so forth, and putting them into different compartments. And then they pass up to me this huge package of paper towels. And there's no space. So I break open the package and I just squeeze them into the different places. And the last place that had any space in it was the well of the boat. And if you're any of you are fishermen, you know that the well is where you put the water to put the fish that you catch, hopefully. And I thought the well was dry. And I put in about three rows. I stuffed three rows into that well. When we get to the island, finally around 2 o'clock, we get up to Father Mark's cottage, and we're unpacking, and I realize the well was not as dry as I thought it was. So I thought, well, you know, the sun is warm enough. I think we can dry these rows out. And there was a big, huge boulder on the side of Father Mark's driveway. Now, this is, you know, dirt and gravel, very high grass and pine trees, no asphalt, no smooth ground. And so I go over to the boulder. The boulder is about 8 feet high, and I managed to get the paper towels on top of the boulder, figuring the sun and the heat would dry out the paper towels. So we unpack and we're just sitting around, we're talking, got our feet up and relaxing, and it's about 9 o'clock at night, and I realize it's raining out. So stupid me, I rush out, not stopping to get a flashlight. Now it's pitch black there, I couldn't see the hand in front of my face. But it's great for watching stars, you know, you can see the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy and everything else. So I decided to take a shortcut. Rather than go up by the driveway, I decided to go behind the boulder, through the grass, and fall into a hole. And I'd be certain You know, and I yelled, I screamed. And Lee said, "What's the matter?" I said, I fell. "Wait, don't move, don't move." He gets a flashlight, comes over, and I finally I can see where I'm at, and he helps me crawl up out of the hole that I was in. Forgot the paper towels here in the rain. And my hand was still hurting me up to about a few weeks ago. But what a stupid thing to do. I mean, the flashlights were right there by the door. It would have taken me any time to just pick up a flashlight and go out, but I thought I could see in the dark, like a cat. But don't we all do the same thing, folks, from time to time? You know, we fall into these holes. Maybe it's about our finances. Maybe it's some legal stuff. Maybe it's our health. Maybe it's our physical well-being or our mental and emotional well-being. And we can fall into these holes, sisters and brothers, if we're not listening, if we're not paying attention or taking time to find the lights that are greater than our own. Now, I understand. You know, there are certain situations like mine. I was in a hurry thinking I could save those stupid paper towels, you know, and maybe we don't have the resources to look for those greater lights. But when it comes to our spirituality, when it comes to our morality, sisters and brothers, we really have no excuse. We should really listen to that greater light, which is Christ in our life. And he, you know, just to give you a little background, the land of Zabulon and land of Naphtali. Zabulon was the son of Leah, Jacob's first wife. Naphtali was the son of Bilhah, Rebekah, Jacob's second wife. So those tribes, if you will, up in Upper Galilee, were the first to be taken captive by the Assyrians. And what the Assyrians did was they filled that land in with all these pagan peoples. So there was a very mixed population of pagans and Jews in Galilee. So the Jews in Jerusalem had no respect for Galileans. Hence Nathanael will say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" They had a very poor opinion of Galileans because of the mixed population there. And what does Jesus do? Because Zebulun and Naphtali are the first to be taken into the darkness, if you will, into a pagan land, they are the first to receive the light of Christ. And instead of setting up shop, as most rabbis would do in Jerusalem, he sets up shop in Galilee, in Capernaum. And what does he do, sisters and brothers? He calls us all to repentance, to conversion, to believe in the gospel and reform our lives, because now we have light by which to see the darkness in our souls, by which to see the sins that we give into, by which to see all that separates us from the love of God. He reminds us of the dignity that we have as men and women, that we have a great dignity that's not based on anything we can do or our virtue or what have you, but just on the fact that God has called us. And so the dignity of an unborn child is equal to the dignity of the mother and father. There's no difference, sisters and brothers. Both are called by God, and we belong to God first. By his emptying of himself, of his divinity, becoming a slave, obedient even unto death, he teaches us the importance of humility and obedience. By his being born in a stable and not in a palace, he teaches us that the poor in spirit are blessed. Who is it that the Blessed Mother appears to? She appears to Juan Diego, this poor Indian, back in the 1500s. She appears to three children in Fatima. A poor peasant girl in Lourdes. He teaches us the importance of simplicity of life. By forgiving those who crucified him and put him to death, he shows us how important it is for us to forgive, to love even our enemies. Some people can't even forgive members of their own family, but Christ calls us to forgive those who would hurt us. You know, last night at the youth group, we were asking the youth, you know, what's a good definition of love? And finally, Mike shows them a quote from Thomas Aquinas, "To will the good of the other." And you could take that even further, to will the good of the other, even if it means your harm. To will the good of the other more than for yourself. By offering himself up and accepting the rejection, humiliation, and scourging, he shows us the value of embracing suffering in our own lives. Not that suffering is good in itself, but that we can take that suffering and offer it up. He does penance for our sins. And so he asks us to be willing to pray and do penance for others, even if we don't know them. This is the nature of the light that God has come to show us, folks. Jesus reveals the love of the Father to bring joy into our lives, dispelling our sorrow. The brightness of this love dispels the gloom, the darkness of our sin, of our fear of death, of that narrow-mindedness that cuts us off from the abundant life he wants us to have. I came that they may have life in all its fullness, Christ says in the 10th chapter of John. In our darkness, we stumble. We try to do it ourselves. We stumble. We don't take time to just breathe in that gift of God's Spirit and pray so that when we exhale, we're exhaling in mission and being lights for others. That's the light he came to give us, sisters and brothers. With the psalmist, may we yearn for that temple, who is Christ, and for that unique presence of God that is able and wants to lift us up to himself. This is the nature of the light that Christ came to bring into our lives, that we also might be light for others. We need to pray, though, for that gift of wisdom and discernment to discern those true lights from the false lights. Because he calls us to be other Christs. God loves you and God blesses you. And carry a flashlight all around from now on.